Good morning. Still wading in the water. Yes, before I start, just a quick thing, an update on what's been going on in our lives as a family. Well, we've had a full house in my house. As you know, my brother-in-law's wife, my sister, Ayo, you know, has been pregnant, and it's her first Sunday here since she's had a little boy, Zion. So baby Zion is in the house, so praise God. So welcome, Ayo. Welcome, baby Zion, who's asleep. Yeah, so that's great. But yes, let's go straight into the service. And the sermon today is what we want. What we want. Please just turn in your scriptures to Genesis 37, verses 1 to 11. It's on the screen as well if you want it. I'm going to start. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with his sons, with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age. And he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak to him peaceably. Just don't know when to change. Then Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, Then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. There were binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down before my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us, his brothers asked. Are you really going to rule us? So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and told his brothers. Look, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. What kind of dream is this that you have had? He said. Are your mother and brothers and I going to bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is a familiar story to a lot of us. From the scripture, we get an immediate insight into the family life of the young Joseph. Things are kicked off here by Joseph bringing a bad report about his brothers. In verse 3, we get a bit of a flashback. It all starts with Jacob's apparent anointing of Joseph as the main man by giving him a special coat. Perhaps this may have signified to his brothers leadership over them. This is a cultural no-no. What is clear is that Joseph was the favorite of his brothers. You know what? Favoritism is a hurtful thing. And you know what? Favoritism in the church does not build up the church. In fact, it tears it apart. It can cause hurt, it can cause pain, and it can really damage people. We want to be mindful of this in our midst. In the church, you say? Yes. Are the teens in the house? You guys have messed me up there. You were meant to be louder. Are the teens in the house? There we go. You know, as teens, we need to ensure that we're forming... Sorry, I forgot something. Brings me nicely to my first point. There we go. We want to click and not form clicks. That is my first point. As teens, we need to ensure that we are not forming cliques, but only fellowshipping those that we find easy to relate to. Let's always look out for those who are not in the circle. Perhaps teens not raised in the church. Perhaps teens who are maybe not that interested in church. You want to bring them in and make them feel loved. We don't make them feel like Joseph's brothers. What about the married? We're encouraged to be hospitable, and rightly so. Let's ensure that we're inviting teens and singles and all sorts of people into our homes, and not just those with a similar lifestyle and life background and life system as ours. Not just with hospitality either. I know we go on about that. Why don't we get time when we're free to pray with these guys? Build them up. What would our church look like? We want to click, but not form cliques. As a church, we need to be taking care of visitors and friends when they come along. We should be looking for new faces and making sure that they feel the warmth of the fellowship. And if you're visiting here today, be warned, you will be swarmed. So that is my first point. We want to click, but not form cliques. Let's read on. Verse 12. His brothers had gone into pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, "Your brothers, you know, are pasturing the flocks at Shechem. Get ready. I'm sending you to them." "I'm ready," Joseph replied. Then Israel said to him, "Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are doing, and bring word back to me." So he sent him to the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. A man found him there wandering in the field and asked him, "What are you looking for?" "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph said. "Can you tell me where they are pasturing their flocks?" "They moved on from here," the man said. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph set out after his brothers and found them at Dothan. And we'll stop there. Interesting thing here. This kind of reminds me a bit of my childhood. As a child, I grew up with two older cousins. They were in their late teens as I was kind of like approaching nine. My older cousin, Femi, used to nick my mom's Pride and Joy, her Jeep. It's a little Nissan Jeep. She used to nick it and take it on a joyride. And of course, he would return it before my mother got back from work. My mom relied on her boy, her son, to let them know of any acts of disobedience. And this would qualify. This is where the similarity between me and Joseph stops. Let's just say I was strongly encouraged not to ever utter a word to my mom. I never did. In fact, the only way my mom found out about this was when I was getting married and Femi decided to share about it. I couldn't even make eye contact with my mom. But brings me on to my next point. We want to be diligent and devoted to our dad's affairs. It can come across like Joseph was a divisive character or a tool, especially given his history of immaturity that we read about earlier. Sharing about his dreams in the way he did was certainly not wise. Here is like daddy's little spy. However, as we look more closely at this passage, we see that he was serious about his father's affairs. He was ready to be called upon. He said it, "I'm ready." He was diligent in carrying out his dad's instructions. Let's break that down a bit. Shechem was about 50 miles away from the Valley of Hebron. He spent some time wandering there, I reckon an hour or two, looking for his brothers. When he found out, he had another 12-mile trip to find them at Dothan. He could have turned at Shechem and simply told his dad that he did not find them. "You know what? I'm assuming they're doing a great job. They're doing cool. I'm just going to mosey on back home now. Thank you." But it brings up an interesting point for me. How serious are we about carrying out our father's affairs? We know the passage in Matthew 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." How did our first century brothers and sisters view this commission? I think Paul makes an excellent summary in Acts 20, verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace." The mission is the same today as it was back then. We see the same spirit in Joseph's character when it came to carrying out his dad's task. He did not allow his own past mistakes. "Oh my goodness, I have goofed." He did not allow that to get in the way. "I just shared these dreams and I've just been rebuked." He did not allow that to get in the way. He was diligent. He was devoted to what his dad had told him to do. The world is a mess. There's a real battle of the minds of young people in this country. And anywhere else, you just have to read about it. The atrocities we read about are being carried out by mostly people in their mid-20s. Last Thursday's incident in Germany is another example of this. A few months ago, I think in Kent, a man is alleged to have murdered and buried his wife and kids in a family home garden. This may be extreme examples, you say, but it does drive home the need for God in the lives of men and women in our country and around the world. All backgrounds, every type of person, they need God. It's our job to reach out. Maybe a broken home will be saved. Maybe young men and women will certainly be given direction by God. But souls will certainly be saved. But it all starts with us being about our Father's business, looking to do what is required to carry out the Great Commission like Joseph did over here. Let's keep reading. I'll ask that we fast forward a bit to Genesis 39, verses 1 to 10. Now, Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph and became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned in the house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was a well-built and handsome man just like me. Sorry, I had to chuck that in there. And after some time, the master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, "Sleep with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in this house and has put all he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how do I do such a great evil and sin against God?" Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Point 3. We want to stand and not sin. Joseph could have thought, "I've just been sold into slavery by my brothers, then resold by some Ishmaelites. Then I'm trying to make the best of the situation. Then this lady just comes and tries to seduce me. What do I do?" Joseph could have just simply given in. "I have tried. It's tough." It's been very hot recently, hasn't it? I'm sweating right now. How are the men doing in terms of purity? Got to ask the question. Are you on your guard? Or do you just wait for it to hit you then? Oh, panic. Are you praying hard about this? We should be. It's tough out there. How are you doing in fleeing from sin, not just impurity? How is your pride? How is your humility? In verses 11 and 12, we read that one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there, and she grabbed him by his garment. "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. Joseph legged it when sin confronted him. I'm not always like this. At times, you can have more obvious things like purity. But do you flee from your pride? Do you flee from your character sins? Or do you embrace them and take care of them? My role at work involves speaking to various managers and head of departments across the business and advising them on any technical issues. Recently, our management team introduced quality checks. Thus, you know, when you pick up the call, my calls will be listened to from time to time. I thought this was a fine idea. Well, also I thought until last week. I was given some feedback about how I was not helpful with one of the managers, and a complaint had actually been logged about me. I was fine with stuff generally and saw the point of view, I think. The only sticking point was when someone mentioned my attitude was wrong. I was like, my attitude? Let's just say the kung fu came out. I abandoned thoughts of being humble and decided to fight my corner. I had an attitude about being challenged about an attitude. I was not willing to entertain that I could have been wrong in this area. I have to constantly work on this sin. This is my sin. It's pride. I hate it. I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to being a pushover. That's how I can view humility as being a pushover. This can lead to people getting hurt, me falling into deeper sin because I am not heeding advice, and above all, God is not glorified. The boundaries that God has set for us are there for our protection. Kind of like this. What side of that would you want to be when you're doing that? Perhaps you're thinking about your relationship with God right now and feeling a bit overwhelmed and tempted to give in to sin. God has got your back. He had Joseph's back. He always protects. He is enough. All sin does is build up an appetite for more and more, and you are never truly satisfied. Joseph took a stand, which was to run. Forget the coat, just run, not entertain sin at all. This action had consequences. We read later on that Potiphar's wife had lied to Joseph and ended up being thrown in jail. But God had a plan. He ended up being second command in Egypt and reconciled with his brothers. In summary, we've looked at a few instances in Joseph's life, and hopefully we can determine what we want from them. What we want to. Oh, I'm a click behind. We want to click and not form clicks. We don't want a situation where people feel outside the circle. We want to ensure that everybody's pulled in and the visitors and friends feel the warmth of the fellowship. We want to be diligent and devoted about our dad's affair. We want to evangelize and spread the good news of God's grace. It is what we've been tasked to do by God. Finally, we want to stand and not sin. We want to stay close to God and persevere. It is not for our own, it is for our own good. God has a plan. It is a great one. It leads to glory with him. Amen.
It's great to hear from Wale. Thank you so much for sharing the message with us this morning. You know, I remember the very first time I came along to church and just being amazed just how warm and friendly all the Christians were. It was only a small group at that point. It was literally, there's about 15, 16 people in the room, but it seemed like everyone wanted to get a chance to say hello and to meet me. And honestly, I was just really impacted just by the warmth of the relationships. And it's great to be reminded by Wally just the fact that we need to be that same way, that we need to be reaching out and being outward focused and not just focused on what's comfortable for ourselves. And for as the church gets bigger, this becomes even more crucial. I want to encourage us to really take this on board. It's really good. It's really very appropriate as well, as we've just had the preteen graduation, to see those four who are here today, just young women moving up into the teen ministry, and just to be reminded of the fact that it's easy to feel a little bit on the fringes, and we need to make extra effort to really welcome people in, and so that they don't feel like they're on the outside. But appreciate that first point, and you know, even as he talked about just being ready to do our Father's will, being diligent about following our dad's plan. I learned something new. I didn't realize that the Valley of Hebron was 50 miles away from Shechem. And to think that Joseph was very willing and eager to follow his father's instruction and to go and search for his brothers, and then to get that 50 miles away and not be able to find them, and then to find out that they're in Dothan, which is another 12 to 13 miles, and yet again be willing to travel that extra distance, that really is the definition of going the extra mile. And I think for all of us, just having that on our hearts to really fulfill God's desire and plans for our lives, particularly in the area of just sharing the gospel and reaching out and making disciples, just having that same kind of spirit. And finally, I thought this, the final point, just about taking a stand against sin, was particularly appropriate, especially as the weather gets warmer and people start to wear less and less, and it's very easy for us to succumb to just temptations of lust and impure thoughts. But I think just recognizing that what the Bible teaches is there for our benefit, that God's boundaries are there for our protection. Let's thank Wale once again for a really excellent lesson this morning. Just one closing announcement. The Hope coordinators have a meeting taking place today at 1 o'clock in the classroom just out here, first on the right, EP1. That's going to be at 1 o'clock for all the Hope coordinators. This time, let's go ahead and close our service with one final song. I'll ask the song leaders to come to the front. And after that, the parents can collect their children and we'll just enjoy a time of fellowship.
Thanks, Mike. Let's stand for our final song. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love.